listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Sisters and brothers in Christ, grace to you and peace in the name of the risen Christ. Amen. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. That's verse 23 that we just heard. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. In 2010, Sister Sandra Marie Schneiders, with an S, Schneiders with the S, so I don't think she's not family, there's an S, Schneiders, she's a professor at the Jesuit School of Theology, and she presented a fascinating paper to a group of scholars on this verse, verse 23. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Her idea was that we have assumed and inserted a word into our English translation of verse 23. And because of that, everything changes. She's looking at the Greek, as scholars do, and she's not seeing a word for sins the second time. The word sins is used twice there. She doesn't see it the second time, and she thinks that changes everything. So in her translation, in her reading of it, it's, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain any, or another way of saying it, if you hold fast to any, they are held fast. And so she's wondering if the second part is actually about holding on to people rather than holding on to sins. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain, if you hold any, if you embrace any even would be an okay translation. If you embrace any, then they are embraced. This, she argues, along with the Lutheran scholar where I found this, Reverend Dr. Mary Hinkle Shore, they're finding this not only leaves room for Thomas needing proof, it's far more in line with Jesus' actions and his overarching theology in the entire Gospel of John. This would line up much better with the whole narrative of John's Gospel. Retaining sins, holding one's sins over their head. If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. If you retain the sins, have you ever held someone's sins over their head? Have you ever held on to something over them? I mean, we do it all the time. But it doesn't really fit with the themes that we've seen through this whole year of John, especially now in this peace-breathing post-resurrection chapter 20 here. Interesting insight. This text here today is John's version of the Great Commission, some have argued. The Great Commission, you know, in the Gospel of Matthew, the Great Commission is, go ye therefore, baptizing everyone in the name of the triune God, go therefore and make disciples. That's Matthew. This is John's version of the Great Commission. Here in John, Jesus appears, and we just heard it read today, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And then he breathes on them, it says, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And whoever you hold, whoever you embrace, whoever you love, they are held. And they are embraced. And they are loved. That's Holy Spirit power. That's power that's greater than Pilate and the whole Roman Empire. That's power that's mightier than all the muscles and ammunition we can even imagine. That's Holy Spirit power, friends in Christ. Jesus breathes this power on his disciples and on us too. And this is way more in line with John's gospel than just retaining sins. Can't you just hear the echoes of Jesus' actions back through the Gospel of John? Not too long ago, it was Good Friday. And we read the Gospel of John, and Jesus offered community to his beloved disciple and his own mother from the cross. Christ's sermon there was to go and take care of one another from this day forward. I have taken care of you. Now you love and take care of one another. You see, just love outpouring from the cross. And then the day before that, I'm going back in time, was Maundy Thursday. And Jesus offers this intimate cleansing and this tangible forgiveness to the disciples. And now calls them to turn and go beyond and do that same cleansing and forgiveness to each other and beyond. We see this pattern over and over again. First, we receive it from God, and then we turn and we offer it. That's the practice of the foot washing. We have our feet washed, and then we turn and wash our neighbor's feet. And it's this chain of love that goes and flows out into the world. This pattern is going all through the Gospel of John, through all the stories, this journey that we've been on. I'm going to miss the Gospel of John. It goes all the way back to the raising of Lazarus and the woman at the well and the blind man and the feeding of the 5,000. What powerful stories. Again, receiving something, Jesus breaks the bread, passes it, and then the people turn and share it with one another. There was a church actually during Lent here in our synod, in Pacifica Synod. Just recently, this past Lent, one of their practices was offering loaves of bread to everyone in the church as they went out. So they were baking bread for that whole season. Maybe an idea for the future. They were baking bread, hundreds of loaves on your way out. Take a loaf of bread or two. The rule was, though, that you had to break that bread and share it with someone. You had to go back home and call your neighbor and have them come over and maybe have a meal with the bread. But you had to share the bread with someone. You couldn't just go home, have it with by yourself or with your immediate family. You had to invite someone over, take it to work and break bread at the lunch table. You had to somehow share the bread. And that was a symbol too in the Gospel of John. God gives us and then we turn and share it with others. It doesn't sound like rocket science, but how we can often just kind of take it for ourselves and that's it. Or take it for ourselves and just give it to our favorite people and share it with them. But God over and over calls us. It goes all the way back actually to the very beginning of John's gospel. Way back to chapter 1 where we were in Advent time. Remember where the light shines in the darkness and that light shines. That light is the life of all people. We receive this light from God, and we turn and we share it with everyone else. Now post-resurrection. As we wade into this 50-day Easter season, basking in the peace that our risen Savior breathes on us, here it is again. First, we receive from Christ forgiveness and embrace, if you go with this insight, with this different translation. First, we receive from Christ forgiveness and embrace, being held, being retained. And then we turn and we offer that to one another and to this whole world. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. This is the indeed here. Turning and offering both forgiveness and embrace. This is the indeed of that statement. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And whoever you hold, they are held. Whoever you embrace, they are embraced. Who is it that you are holding right now? Who is it that you are embracing? Who is it that is heavy on your heart? They are held in Christ. I'm holding lots of people. As we share our prayers for our loved ones, we are holding them. I'm holding Annie Schoenegard right now, every day in my prayers as she continues to grieve, and her life has just been ripped apart and everything's turned upside down. It's very chaotic. As I hold Annie in my prayers, she is being held. That's the Easter message here. Do you see? Whoever you hold, God then holds. That's Holy Spirit power. That's really, really powerful. Remember when Jesus said to Pilate, "You have no power over me," on Good Friday? You have no power over me. Well, now Pilate has no power over us either. We've received the Holy Spirit now, post-resurrection. Pilate has no power over us either. Whoever we hold, they are held. Whoever we embrace, they are embraced in Christ. And friends, whoever we forgive, they receive the very forgiveness of God. That's Holy Spirit power. That's the embrace of the risen Christ. And how all of God's children need that embrace and that forgiveness. How all of God's children need what we've been given and are now invited to turn and share. How all of God's children, children in our neighborhoods, children in our workplaces and our schools, children in our shopping malls and our sports arenas, how all of God's children, children out there on the roads and in the hospitals and in the courthouses, all of God's children in the banks and in the halls of power and in the back alleys, all of God's children in every nation and in every language need that embrace and that peace and that forgiveness that the resurrected Christ so abundantly breathes on us. Christ gives you that same breath this day, that same power to heal and to forgive. We all have that name tag on us, and we share that name now with everyone. In a moment, we'll offer what we always offer on Sunday mornings. We'll offer the peace of Christ to one another. And the symbol is there too. Receive the Holy Spirit, Jesus says to us. Today is John's Pentecost. Receive the Holy Spirit, we'll say to one another. Peace be with you. This isn't just shaking hands or giving hugs to your favorite people around you. It is that, probably. But it's not just that. It's war ending. It's walls coming down as we greet one another with a sign of God's peace. It's creation, the whole creation restored. It is death itself being destroyed. Jesus' resurrection offers true peace. Do you believe that? If you're doubting that, if you're doubting that that's really what's happening when we just shake each other's hands, I mean, often the sharing of the peace, some have called it the seventh inning stretch. You know, it's like we just get up and take a break and shake some people's hands. If you're doubting that those are the things that are really happening when we shake hands every Sunday, when we share the peace of Christ with each other, then you're not too much different than the faithful Thomas, who just wanted to see more. Let's not forget that Thomas, back in chapter 11 of John, Thomas was the one who urged the disciples to go on to Bethany, even though that was an incredibly dangerous thing to do. We read that a while back. It was just kind of hidden in the passage. But when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, that was in Bethany or outside of Bethany, and Jesus wanted to go there, and it was Thomas that said, "Let us go also that we may die with him." They knew it was dangerous and none of them wanted to go. Thomas had some guts. And it made me wonder this week, where was he? Why wasn't he with the disciples in the upper room? Maybe Thomas was already out there. Everybody else is scared and locked up behind closed doors. But Thomas maybe is already out there, just like the skit, out there in the world doing stuff. Maybe Thomas was already doing the scent work. We talked about the scent work with the blind man and go wash in the pool of scent a while back. Maybe Thomas was already washed in the pool of scent and he was out there doing the work when Jesus first appeared to the disciples that Easter evening. Maybe he just wanted to see more. Often, the most active, the activists, often the ones who are most involved on the ground out there in the world are also the ones who are the most cynical, right? Often, that's true. Remember all Mother Teresa's doubt, and we just all had this crisis, but she wrote and talked so openly later on. We saw her memoirs about her crisis of faith. Often it's them that are the most cynical or the most dubious. But friends, there's room for that in God's embrace. It's hard to believe that war ends when Bill and Kevin are going to shake hands in a little bit. It's hard to believe that. It just is a nice greeting. It's hard to believe that walls are coming down and conflicts are being reconciled. as Mike and Cindy kiss each other on the cheek. It's nice, but I don't believe all those things are really happening. I need to see more. It's hard to believe that the creation, the air and the water and the soil is restored. When Gina crosses the room and gives Lori a hug. It's hard to believe that when we say to each other, peace be with you. Unless I can see it and touch it, I will not believe that death has been destroyed. But there's room for that in Christ's embrace. And now there's room for that in our embrace too, because we share Christ's embrace with the world. You can come with your doubts. Christ still holds you. And blessed are those who have not seen and yet have still come to believe. Amen.
Shepherd of the Valley, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon, and to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body.
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.
Woo!